What a gift. What a privilege. Oh, man, your voices being lifted together. It's just a beautiful, beautiful reminder of who our God is and what he has done and what he's invited us into in this good news that we celebrate together. I want to encourage you, if you would, to grab your Bible and join me in Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 6 is where we are going to be spending some time here this morning. But before we get into our scripture today, before we step into this message specifically, it is a big week in the lives of many. Summer is coming to an end. I know you can let out a collective if you're a student and if you're a parent, all right, you know, like summer's coming to an end, school is starting this week, but here's what I want to do. At the beginning of a school year, we know that we have many people that will be really serving on the front lines with our students and our children in schools all around this city. And so we just want to pray over you because you have a very specific calling on your life. If you are a teacher, an educator, an administrator, a member of a school faculty, and we just want to undergird you with the power of prayer and invite the Lord to use your life this year in a very specific and special and even anointed way in your classroom, in your schools, wherever it is that God has called you. So if you're a teacher, an administrator, a faculty member of any kind in one of our local schools, would you just stand right now? We want to commission you out into this year, and we want to pray for you. And would you join me in thanking them? Absolutely. We are so grateful for the way you lead, the way you serve, the way you teach, the example that you set, and the way the lives of many in the next generation are impacted because of your faithfulness and your service. So let's pray, church, together now for these who will be teaching and on the front lines in our schools this year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful, grateful for these men and women who have dedicated their life and even answered this call to go into our schools and to love on students and children and teach them and even share light in the midst of what can often be overwhelming and can be dark. And so, Lord, we're grateful, grateful for the way you've called them out and sent them into schools and into classrooms and into teachers' lounges. And Lord, we pray that you would use their lives this school year for your glory in a very specific way. Give them eyes to see the mission field that you have called them to, Lord. And I pray your hand of blessing would be on them. Strengthen them, sustain them, and equip them with everything that they need for what lies ahead in this new school year. Oh, how grateful we are for what you're doing through their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Hey, why don't everybody else just go ahead and stand with them? We're gonna read the word of God together to get us started, and we stand for the reading of God's word because the word of God is our foundation. This is where we make our stand as the people of God, on the living, active word of God that tells us what God says is right and good and true. So listen to the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, Jesus is teaching his followers about prayer. And as he provides instructions and as he lays out a model prayer that we often call the Lord's Prayer, which we'll begin to get into next Sunday, he actually lays before us some warnings. The way we pray, how we pray, where we pray, as he also provides some instructions. So listen to the holy word of God. Matthew 6, 5, Jesus says, "When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. But truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray," Jesus says, "do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." This is the word of the Lord. Let me pray for us, and then we'll be seated and step into this text today. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word and the power of your spirit that reveals to us what we need to see. And Lord, as we pray, and now as we talk about prayer, we pray that you would grow us to be more like Christ and use this time for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Did you like that shorter prayer? Because the Bible says don't use many words. I'm trying to learn as we go, all right? It is a gift that Jesus, in the midst of this most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, takes a portion of this sermon to do an intentional and direct teaching about prayer. I'm so grateful for this. Because the reality is, you may have experienced this at times in your life. For many people, prayer can be overwhelming. It can feel daunting. What are we supposed to say? What are we supposed to do? Is there a right way to pray? Is there a wrong way to pray? And it can feel overwhelming. It can feel intimidating many times. So Jesus, in his kindness toward us, he provides this instruction about prayer, this teaching about prayer, because prayer is foundational for the Christian life. In fact, a prayer life is essential to have a relationship with Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to follow Jesus. Prayer is so incredibly important. So Jesus gives us this teaching. He gives us these warnings. He gives us this instruction to show us what we need to pay attention to when we pray, to show us why prayer is so important, and to even help us understand what happens when we pray. So just at a foundational level, I want to start today by just putting a very simple definition in front of you of what prayer is, what happens when we pray. And I'm taking this definition from Dr. Danny Akin, who's the president of Southeastern Theological Seminary. And this is what Dr. Akin writes about prayer. He says, prayer is, in simplest form, most basic sense, it is a conversation with God. Prayer is a child of God talking to his heavenly Father and listening to his Father by his word illumined by the Spirit. Prayer, in its simplest and most basic sense, is a conversation with God. A child of God talking to God and a child of God listening to God, both through the word and through the move of God that is the Holy Spirit. Prayer is communion. It is fellowship. It is a relationship. Prayer is pouring out our heart to our perfect Heavenly Father who sees us and knows what we need. The scripture even tells us even before we ask. And as we pray, prayer aligns our heart with the heart of the Father. As we pray, prayer centers us back on who the Father is and what he has done for us and what he has invited us to receive and partake of. Prayer is a gift of having a relationship, of having a conversation, of having ongoing fellowship with God the Father. And in that light, I just want to lay out for you a couple of things that Scripture says about prayer and the gift that it is before we step back into this teaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. In fact, there's three gifts of prayer that I just want to highlight that show up for us in the Word of God. And there's many more gifts of prayer, but these three are so significant that they need to be highlighted. The first gift is this: prayer really is a privilege. Prayer really is a privilege. Hebrews chapter 4, 16 says it this way: let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. This verse is saying, do you understand? You have access to God the Father. You have been given access to the throne of grace. You don't have to wonder, does God want you to come to him? He does. He wants to hear from his children. You don't have to be afraid that God might turn you away or refuse to listen. He wants to hear from his children. Prayer is a privilege. It reminds us we have access to the Most High, Sovereign Lord, reigning over all the universe. He is the God who holds all things in his hand. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And you and I, who are children of God, can come to him at any time. What an amazing privilege. I think about when our kids were younger, when they were like those preschool years, and many of you I know have preschool age children right now. And I think about, especially with our girls, you know, as a dad, you who are fathers of girls, you know, there's just a special soft spot in your heart for your girls. And I just think about when they were toddlers in preschool, and I'd be at home working on something. I had a little place where I could study and a place where I could get some work done in our house when our kids were young. And when one of the girls would come like running into the room where I was and want to tell me something or want to come up and sit in my lap as I was doing some work, you know, there wasn't ever a time where I said, hold on, have you made a calendar invite? Come back later. I might be able to work in 3 weeks. I've got a little window. Now that's my girl. Those are my kids. They got access to dad. And how much more overwhelming is it to think that you and I, who are children of God, we have access to the Father who is sovereign and reigning over all things. He says, come anytime. Draw near to the throne of grace. You don't have to set up a special appointment. You don't have to wait for a couple weeks. No, come now. What a privilege it is to pray. And to know that the Father is listening. Secondly, the scripture shows us this, that prayer is a protection. Prayer is protection over our hearts and over our minds. I love what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Philippians chapter 4 as he talks about the importance of prayer and the power of prayer. Verse 6 and 7 of Philippians 4, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then listen to this. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, what's the language, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding when we pray, the scripture says, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Now, there's so much that can be said here, and we're actually going to spend an entire Sunday talking about this very topic of anxiety and how it impacts us and how it's so prevalent in our culture and what the scripture says as it speaks to anxiety and worry and fear of the future. Jesus talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to get there in a couple of weeks. But right now, what I want us to see is that when we are anxious and when we are overwhelmed and when we are worried and when we are concerned about the future and the things that are to come, the Word of God invites us to, in that moment, go before the Lord in prayer. And the scripture tells us that as we pray, there is a protection that is put over our hearts and our minds. As we're reminded, we're praying to the one who is in control. We're praying to the one who does know the future. We're praying to the one who holds all things in the palm of his hand. There is a peace that surpasses all understanding when we pray that begins to protect us, protect our thoughts, protect our heart, and guard us as we acknowledge the one who is in control. Prayer is a privilege, and prayer is protection. But third, the gift we see that is so incredibly important as the scripture talks about prayer is that prayer really is powerful. Prayer is our power source. It's not just some religious activity that we do to go through the motions to start a service or to get to some good food at a meal. No, prayer is powerful. It's mysterious. It's miraculous in its power. James chapter 5, verse 16 says it this way, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then the statement is made this way, that the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. What an amazing thing to hear, that the prayer of God's people is a powerful force. That something incredibly powerful happens when God's people cry out to God in prayer. And we can't always see it. We can't always explain it. But there is something powerful that takes place when the people of God pray. And this is why we believe that prayer is to be the foundation of all that we do as a church. This is why we enter into intentional times of prayer, like what we're going to be stepping into a week from now as we kick off 21 days of prayer, something that I look forward to at the beginning of every semester. How grateful I am for an intentional, focused time of prayer together as a church. We believe that prayer is powerful. A gift that God has given us to cry out to God, to cry out for his power to be at work in our lives, in and through his people, for his spirit to move among us, for his glory and for our good. There is power in prayer. Privilege, protection, and power. God's people are called to pray. But with all that being said, as Jesus begins to teach about prayer to a group of people that in large part was a religious crowd that had been going through religious rituals for most or all of their life, as Jesus talks about prayer to this religious group of people and the crowd that is gathered around them, he has some very clear instructions and some very clear warnings about prayer. And the warnings that he gives us about prayer actually highlight a warning that we began to see last week. And it's a warning that runs all throughout the Sermon on the Mount. As Jesus provides instruction and teaching, the warning is, but hold on, what matters most is the posture of your heart. There are things that Jesus is teaching us to do, and as he teaches us to do these things, he says, what matters most to me, what matters most to God is our heart. The why behind the what. The reason that we do the things we do is what God cares most about as we interact with him. He sees our hearts. And so as we pray and as we talk about prayer, Jesus is reminding us this is an invitation for a heart exam. This is an invitation to check our hearts and ask the question, so why have we been praying the way we've been praying? Or why have we not been praying? What's going on in our heart as it relates to this topic of prayer? So this first warning and instruction that Jesus gives is actually somewhat surprisingly about where we pray. Why does where we pray matter? Well, Jesus is going to show us. Look at Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6 again. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, Jesus says, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, Jesus says, they have received their reward. But when you pray, and here's what Jesus teaches us, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And this is a very similar statement that Jesus starts with, like what we saw last week when Jesus was providing instruction about giving to the needy and the posture of our heart as we give to those in need. What did we see last week? You can look at this at the beginning of Matthew 6. Jesus said, don't give to draw attention to yourself. Don't give so that you can blow a trumpet and say, hey, look at how awesome I am. Look at how generous I am. No, that's what the hypocrites do. They love to draw attention to themselves. They love to act like something that they're actually not. And what we saw last week is the word hypocrite in the original Greek culture was a word that was used to describe an actor who was wearing a mask. Someone who was putting on a show and performing and acting like they were something that they actually were not. A very different person behind the mask than what you see when you look at the mask. And Jesus says, when you pray, don't pray just to draw attention to yourself. Don't pray to say, hey, everybody, look at how super spiritual I am. He actually says the foundation of your prayer life to be something that no one else can see. There's a warning here that Jesus lays before his followers. The warning is this: don't turn an act that is intended to lead us to greater humility, greater surrender, and greater dependency to then become an act that leads us to greater pride, greater control, and greater self-sufficiency. That's the warning. Prayer is a humble posture, going before the Lord, the sovereign reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords, saying, I surrender to your will. I need you in my life. I am dependent on you. Every time we pray, it should lead us into a greater posture of humility and surrender and dependency. But Jesus says, if you're not careful, and if you only pray to be seen by others, and if you only pray so that people will say, hey, that was a really good prayer, and you only pray to try and show that you're super spiritual to win the applause and praise of others, you actually may be turning something that was intended to lead you to greater humility and surrender and dependency to something that actually leads to greater pride, greater control, and greater self-sufficiency. Jesus is saying we must check our hearts when we pray, specifically when we pray in public. This is a very important word for those like myself who are in ministry, for those who are teachers, for those who stand up in front of others in a classroom setting or a small group setting and pray in public. Jesus is saying, hey, check your heart. Make sure that these public prayers are not leading you to a place of greater pride or trying to control your life more, trying to be more self-sufficient in the narrative around what people think about you. Be careful with that. And then he gives instruction and he says, and here's how you really need to pray the most. Not that Jesus is condemning public prayer. In fact, there's many times in Scripture where the Scripture leads us to public times of prayer and congregational times of prayer and gatherings where we come together for prayer and assemble for prayer. That is a good thing, but Jesus is making it clear that must not be the only time that you pray. And so he says, where should we pray? Well, it's right there in the Scripture. The instruction is this: get alone with God and pray. Go into your room and shut the door. Get alone with God and pray so that when you pray in public, it's actually the overflow of your prayer life in private. When you pray in front of others, it's actually the overflow of your ongoing prayer life in private with the Father that no one sees and no one hears except for you and God. You see, the foundation for the Christian life and the foundation for a vibrant prayer life is actually built behind the scenes in a personal, ongoing, intimate relationship with the Father. It says, you and I are alone in this, and I have things I want to lay before you, but I need to listen, and I need to get with my Father, because my Father has things that I need to hear. Jesus says, get alone with God and pray. So here's the question for each of us this morning. Do you have a place? Do you have a time, a consistent, ongoing, intentional place and time where you get alone to be with the Father? What's that prayer closet space like for you? Do you have a chair that you sit in? Do you have a time early in the morning before anyone else is awake? What is that ongoing, intentional, consistent fellowship with the Father in prayer that no one else can see? What is that like for you? If you don't have that place, I would encourage you, let this week be a week when you establish that place. This is where I'm going to go for my alone time with the Lord, where I won't be interrupted. This is the time of day I'm going to get alone with the Lord. Because I need to pray, and I need to listen, and I need to hear what the Spirit of God is revealing to me. It's not that Jesus is saying you should only pray once a day, get alone and shut the door just once. That's not what Jesus is saying. In fact, the scripture teaches us throughout the Word of God, pray without ceasing. Let prayer be an ongoing conversation with the Lord. But there should be an intentional time where we get alone with God uninterrupted in an ongoing, consistent manner where we can pour out our heart and we can listen. Jesus says, go get alone with God. So that when you pray in public, it's just the overflow of your prayer life in private. The second warning and instruction that we are given by Jesus about prayer, remember, he's about to teach us a model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. We're going to start looking at that next Sunday. But this other warning and instruction that kind of prepares us for what Jesus is teaching us in the Lord's Prayer is found in verse 7 and 8 of Matthew 6. The scripture says this, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is a warning and instruction about what we say when we pray. It's not about long prayers or short prayers. It's about what we say when we pray. What's the warning? Well, Jesus says, don't pray like the Gentiles do. What were the Gentiles doing? Well, this statement, heap up empty phrases, could also be translated meaningless jabber or thoughtless chatter, where you're just saying something over and over again because someone once told you, hey, this is the prayer you need to pray if you want that to happen. And so it just becomes this routine, these kind of meaningless, empty words that you just say over and over again. The Gentiles would repeat phrases hoping that they would be blessed. Their prayer was more about a superstition or a good luck charm where they believed that if they could just say the right thing the right way, then they would get what they want. He's just saying, no, hold on. Don't just pray meaningless chatter, thoughtless jabber. No, be honest as you pray. So here's the specific warning. Don't go through the motions of empty religious ritual and drift into a prayer life that becomes just routine and meaningless chatter. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just say the same thing every time that you pray. Don't just let it be empty religious rituals of meaningless chatter. I was thinking about this week. There's a prayer that many kids learn to pray before a meal. And please hear me. I think you should teach your kids how to pray, and you should pray before the meal, and you should invite your kids to pray before the meal. That is a good thing to do. But if we're not careful, it can kind of become somewhat meaningless over time. And so the prayer that many kids learn to pray is this simple prayer before the meal. God is great. God is good. Some of y'all know this. Let us thank him for our food. For it's by his hands that we are fed. So thank you, Lord, for daily bread. That's actually a great prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. It actually, part of it comes right out of the Lord's Prayer that we're going to begin looking at next week. But here's what often happens in families at mealtime, right? Someone say that God is great so we can get to the pizza. Let's go. We got to get this thing over with so we can get to the good stuff, right? And the prayer just becomes this empty, meaningless ritual going through the motions, a means to an end to get to some good food. And Jesus is saying, hold on. When you pray, you're talking to the Father. When you pray, you get to pour out your heart to the Father. When you pray, pray honest prayers. That's the instruction. Pray honest prayers. Hey, it's good to have some repetition. It's good to learn some prayers that actually remind us of the truth of God's word. That is a beautiful gift. But as you pray, don't just go through motions. Pray honestly. Pour out your heart. What a privilege to access the throne of grace. So Jesus says, don't just go through the motions of empty ritual and meaningless chatter. No, pray honest prayers. You don't have to polish it up. It doesn't have to sound all pretty and nice every time. Just pray honest prayers. Invite the Lord to meet you right where you are, and then invite the Lord to say what he needs to say. So here's what I want to do just to close is I want to give us the opportunity to just put this into action right here and now. And I know we're in this public space and we've been given this warning about how we pray in public and it shouldn't be to draw attention to ourselves. And I certainly want to heed that warning. At the same time, I believe that we can have a very personal moment with the Lord even in a public space. So what I want to ask you to do is I just want to ask you right now to just imagine for a moment that you've gone in your room and you've shut the door, whatever that space is where you can meet with the Father, that prayer closet space in your life, that sofa, that chair where you can spend time alone, undisturbed, and just pray and listen to the Father. Just if you would just close your eyes for a moment. Maybe you want to lean into a family member or a friend or a loved one around you. You're welcome to pray together. But I just want to ask you to close your eyes. And just imagine you're in that space where the door is shut and you're with the Father. And I just want to ask you to think about what is that one or two things right now in your life that has just been feeling overwhelming? It's just been a burden for you. It's just been consuming your thoughts. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a loved one that you so desperately want to see walking with Jesus. Maybe it's a need that you're aware of in our community. Maybe it's a diagnosis that you've received. Maybe it's a decision that needs to be made. What is that thing right now? It's just been wearing you out. It's been overwhelming. And would you just take a moment to just be really honest with God? Tell him it's been hard. Tell him you feel overwhelmed. Tell him you don't know what to do. Tell him you're not sure how to respond. Tell him in an honest way. And then ask him, as the God of the universe who has given you access to the throne of grace, who is your perfect heavenly Father, ask him to come and meet you in this space and to provide for your need and to do what only he can do. Ask him to move in power in your life in that situation and then declare in that, that you trust him, that you surrender, that you need him.